for our city. This is the FC Buffalo Show on 91.3 FM, WBNY. Now, from the WBNY studio, here are your hosts, Ben Tsujimoto and Nick Mandola.
Hey, good evening. Nick Mandola and Ben Tsujimoto here. Ben Tsujimoto from the Buffalo News soccer blog. That's soccer.buffalonews.com. And I'm Nick Mandola from prosoccertalk.nbcsports.com. It's a cool day, fun day. And I didn't even get a chance to tell Ben this on the way in. I did want to start with a relatively sobering note, but it definitely is worth mentioning. So some of you might know I played soccer at Kenmore East, so did my brother, and it's a very close-knit family there, and I just wanted to share my condolences with the Baleri family. Matt, who was just 25 years old, died over the weekend. And it's been very hard. One of those people who lights up the room, very positive, always outgoing, you know, hug guy, totally hug guy. Mm. When you see him, you're going to get a hug out of him. Not enough hug guys out there. And we lost one. And so his family is asking that anybody make donations in his memory to Kids Escaping Drugs. And I wanted to echo that, in terms of he was someone who came to FC Buffalo games, who played on a men's league soccer team with me, went from like being my little brother's friend to a friend of mine, and he'll be very much missed. We're going to have a lot of fun on the show today and things along that lines. But in terms of the soccer community, take care of the people close to you and always leave it on the right footing, always leave it in a good spot, and, we can all move forward together. So rest in peace, Matt. And our thoughts and, well, I will say my, I don't want to pass religious beliefs on other people, but my prayers out to the Baleri family. That said, we have a show to do today, and I'm still quite excited to do it, and Matt would love to do it. He had soccer jerseys every time I saw him, even when his band was playing, which I know is not, as someone who used to be in a band, wearing sporting gear isn't always a very popular thing to do on stage. So lots of stuff to talk about today. We'll begin here. Ben Tsujimoto, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well, Nick. I'm doing pretty well. I passed up on some soccer watching this weekend to watch some high school basketball.
That sounds like just an awful choice, but you probably had to do it for work.
Nope, I do it every single year. So it was
The sectionals?
Sectionals, yeah.
Oh, cool. Was it Buff State?
At this college, yeah. Buffalo State.
Cool event. Kenmore East hasn't been in a while, so
no,
I don't usually pay attention.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
Not. Mm. Yes,
not very good ball club there. No. So sorry, boys. Yeah, how was it? Fun?
Oh, it was terrific. Yeah, though I was still able to watch some soccer. I saw some MLS.
Did you dodge the punches?
Punches of what? McGregor?
No, not those punches. There was a fight that broke out at the sectionals.
Ooh.
Oh, there's a fight that breaks out. Some of my best times at watching sectional basketball games are as a result of fights. The Niagara Falls Bennett fight, legendary, early 2000s, was one that I will never forget.
Yeah, I can remember some a Niagara Falls, actually, oddly enough, same school, Niagara Falls, Kenmore West game in my high school sports covering prime that... It was very difficult not to write about it in the story, but you're there to cover the athletes, not the crowd.
It's fun every year. Great atmosphere, good location.
Very good location.
A little bit of intensity that sometimes boils over too much.
Nope. Yeah.
Can't ask for too much more.
Well, when glory's on the line, Ben, it still shouldn't get to that point. So let's start here. I know you didn't see a ton of the game, but it's an interesting discussion. Obviously, this weekend in the Premier League, Leicester City wins. Mm. It gets a big goal from Riyad Mahrez, who is... 25 years old.
Yeah, I captained Riyad Mahrez this week in the EPL Fantasy League.
You go triple captain?
No, I've already used that. I used that on a bad choice on Romelu Lukaku.
Oh, really? I used it on Aguero this week and turned out to be very good.
He did
Thank
score.
You, Aston Villa.
Did he score twice?
Scored twice and missed a PK, so that cost me some pointage.
Oh.
Some pointage was cost there. But, yeah, the Leicester wins to go 5 points clear because Spurs and Arsenal draw. In a very exciting game, but both fan groups will be thinking, because they're so tortured, relatively speaking, that their team let them down. And my question to you has been, which team more let their fans down in that 2-2 draw?
Well, I'd say Spurs. It was at White Hart Road, right?
White Hart Lane, yeah. You're all right.
Tottenham Court Road, so you can see how I get
sure,
that confused.
Sure, of course. Of course I can.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing with a man up. You have a one-goal lead with a man advantage. I mean, there's no excuse for breaking down like that. And Sanchez's goal was soft. It was a shot that I thought Lloris should have had pretty easily, at least been able to punch wide. So I think it's disappointing on the Spurs' end. I thought Arsenal did actually very well. Come back, get a point on the road, set themselves up for, I mean, I think it's not bad momentum at all for Arsenal. The Coquelin red card, his second yellow was just dumb. I'm sorry.
No need to do that. Harry Kane is not a speed merchant.
Though he looks fast in that mask.
Sure. He looks like a superhero.
Sleek. Yeah.
You know, I think when I look back on the game and I think about it through that perspective, one thing I'm always dicey about is, yes, Lloris is a professional goalkeeper who made more money this week than I have in the last 3 years. But very rainy game, and the ball's bouncing. I think there's something to it. You always hear the announcers in the booths, he's got to be stronger with his hands. Like, yeah. But I it's not a good goal, for sure. But it's something I'm willing to excuse, especially at the other end. David Ospina was out of his mind.
Yeah.
9 saves. I believe they said it was, and this goes to show you how good Arsenal is year after year. It's at least a modern record in a Premier League game for Arsenal, because teams don't get that many shots on net against a traditional Arsenal defense.
Was it the Christian Eriksen free kick that was bending inside the right post that he pushed away?
An unbelievable save, and he's their number two keeper, and that is... Mm-hmm. He was their number two keeper last year, and it was probably like, oh, Chesney's going to leave this year because he's smoking in the shower. I'll be the starter, and they bring in Petr Cech. So I thought the game was very exciting. They said it was widely talked about on both sides of the Atlantic as one of the most important North London derbies in memory, and instead of rolling my eyes at that, I mean, there was something to that. Both teams are in a title chase. This wasn't a matchup like in years past where it's like, well, if Spurs win, they can pull to within 3 points of Arsenal. This was win and you're still in the picture. Instead, you got a tie and we're left asking Arsenal, 8 points back of Leicester with 9 games to play. It's not impossible, but I'm counting them out.
Mm-hmm.
To think that they would get, if they went absolutely perfect and won their remaining 9 games to get 27 points, that puts them at 79. Yeah, 79 points. That means in Leicester's last 9, they'd only have to get 19 to tie them, and they're ahead of them in goal differential. I don't know. I see that happening. So
the Leicester has 2 big matches right at the end, right?
They have 7 easier matches on the way. Mm-hmm. They have Newcastle this week, which is a walkover. At this point, Newcastle looks dead. I still, against all odds, still believe they're going to stay out because of their schedule. After this, they have Sunderland and Norwich back-to-back. But, I mean, Leicester can chalk up the 3 points at this point. Newcastle did not sign any defenders in the window. And 2 of their center backs went down. Their left back went down. Their right back went down. They literally didn't have a defender on the bench this week. They had an injury to Paul Dummett and had to drop a holding mid to left back. So
sooner or later, Jack Colback's going to be playing 6 different positions.
Ginger Pirlo.
At the same time.
The Ginger Pirlo, Jack Colback. So, yeah, I think Arsenal, can't imagine them making a run at it. In fact, you would argue that Man City is in better shape because even though they are 10 points back, they have a game in hand on the group above them. So that could be a 7-point disadvantage.
So your answer to your own question would have been Arsenal fans probably should be a little bit more upset?
Well, upset with Coquelin. I thought they showed some good spirit, just like we saw a couple weeks ago against Barcelona in the first half when they were very, very good. Maybe the best I'd seen Arsenal play defensively in a long time, because Arsenal isn't often put under siege. And Barcelona puts teams under siege pretty much every week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was impressed by them. I think Arsene Wenger has had some terrific issues with his mentality. And terrible issues, I should say. And I think that's the biggest problem I have with him. Very smart manager. Tactically, he's not naive. He puts his teams in position to win. But he is an excuse maker, and I think that filters down through the team. Mm-hmm. When it's not your fault enough, we've got so many managers. I can think of a couple locally. Hard, hard guys, and they'll put it on you. They'll put it on their team. That was your loss. And guys do that too often, and you end up getting a pretty beleaguered, mentally beleaguered team. I think Arsenal doesn't put it on his players enough. It's always a call. It's last week he said, this was amazing to me, Ben. Arsene Wenger comes out and says, you know, some of our title runs in the last few years that we didn't get to, it's because agents were tapping up our players and turning their heads for the summer. Well, that's a your problem, man.
Yeah.
Like, that happens at every big team and small teams across the world. So I think he is a problem right now in that way. And that's been going on for a few years where he has opted for excuses instead of, you know, owning up to maybe – that's maybe how you become an expert at failure, which Jose Mourinho famously called him.
Yeah, but Coquelin's red card isn't Wenger's fault.
No, that's not. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Going back beyond that, I did get off on a bit of a tangent. No, it's not. And at the same time, he takes that first stupid yellow. I don't know what his history is there.
Yeah.
Does he take a second yellow before? You know, if Lee Cattermole takes that yellow, or Jack Kolbak, or Alexander Mitrovic, or John Terry, or John Obi Mikel, I think you see the manager waving on the sidelines like, hey!
Or Pablo Mascheroni.
Yeah, sure, sure. So that's interesting to me. And Leicester, obviously a 5-point lead now. There isn't a 6-pointer with Spurs left on the schedule.
The Deadspin article today that says, I'm just paraphrasing this title, but God, if you're really there, let Leicester win the Premier League.
Is that how you feel?
No, I just thought it was funny.
No, that's what I'm wondering. Well, obviously you're not asking for divine intervention.
Right, yeah. I don't think God really cares too much about Jamie Vardy. But,
no.
I mean, he does, but he doesn't care about his soccer ability.
Yeah, he's more about, we'll keep rolling on with that. Do you consider that in how inevitable does it feel?
Pretty inevitable now. Yeah. Now that somehow it's still 5 points at this point. Like, there's still something that could go wrong. Was it a week ago? We were saying, oh, man, Leicester suffered that setback, and then maybe they're vulnerable, you know. And then now a couple things go in their favor, and they're right back in front by 5 points. So it seems I hate to say, like, team of destiny, because it's not like they're
– No, there's something to that.
There's something to that. But there's also – you can't use that as, like, the only thing. Like, this was a team that was put together very well, that has gelled together very well. And because of that, maybe they're – you know, they can get a little bit more luck than a lot of other teams.
So let's say the standings stay the same going into the final three matches of the season. And the next few matches for Leicester are Newcastle, Palace, Southampton, Sunderland, West Ham, and Swansea. Let's say they get through that stretch, five point lead on someone. Mm-hmm. If they have a 5-point lead going into Manchester United on the road, Everton at home, and Chelsea on the road, it's still pretty daunting.
Yeah.
And so when I think about it that way, it's kind of scary to say it's inevitable, but at the same time, we've been sitting here since December, when we, they've taken every challenge head on.
Yeah.
And it hasn't always been Mahrez the hero. And Vardy's been relatively cold. A couple goals along the way, considering his initial pace on the year. Yeah. But Kasper Schmeichel is step up. Wes Morgan was unbelievable this week. Robert Huth had it. Did he have a 2-goal game a few weeks ago?
Ujoa has been big.
Danny Drinkwater's been drinking water. It does feel inevitable, but at the same time, there is something in my soccer-loving brain that if this was Real Sociedad, I would think to myself, when are the wheels coming off?
And they still haven't, I mean, it's just a lot of luck. They still haven't gotten hurt. There still hasn't been a guy. Conte started, like, had a tug in his hamstring or something.
That was
like that.
A huge return for them.
And there was a worry that he was going to miss, right? And
he just missed two games. One was a cup, maybe?
Yeah,
cup game.
Because he only missed one EPL game?
Yeah. He came back this week, and that was maybe a little early. He's been phenomenal.
Yeah, and I think if Mahrez by chance gets injured, then maybe the wheels do come off, because he's the guy who... Like, he, to me, is more valuable to this Leicester team than Jamie Vardy is, I think, without a doubt.
Mahrez? Yes. No, I would agree. He makes something out of nothing. Just that goal kind of – you're dangerous when you're 20 yards out, don't get me wrong. But he kind of takes a couple touches, opens himself up, and he didn't score that upper 90, which I initially thought he did.
Yeah.
He kind of just put it to the right of the keeper, and the issue there is – and who are they playing again? I'm totally blanking. Watford. Mm-hmm. I think Gomes just doesn't think he's going to shoot. He's not going to put it through from there. And he kind of bent it up. There's that great angle from kind of midfield from the other end, mm-hmm. where the ball dips over and around. Ah, gorgeous stuff. I think he's player this season for me.
Yeah.
I think it's hard. If Tottenham were to win the league, maybe Kane gets it.
I'm kind of ho-hum on that one. But if they were to win the league, yeah, I get it. But
if Spurs were to?
If Spurs were to.
Yeah.
Yeah, then it would have to be...
But even so,
I
given
guess Kane, but
given what Leicester's done,
yeah,
even if Spurs won the league, you would want to think that. I mean, Hazard won it last year. How would you rate Mahrez's season in compared to what Hazard did last year when he looked like one of the best players in the league?
Yeah, I'd say it's maybe slightly more impressive. I mean,
because of
just because he doesn't. I mean, Hazard has been playing with a lot better. Did last year was playing with a lot better talent around him than
right.
Mahrez has had this year. Mahrez has had to create a lot of his goals himself, whereas Hazard could be isolated one on one, beat somebody down the wing, and you know, and finish. And Mahrez can do that, but he doesn't necessarily have the isolation created for him. He has to beat a couple extra guys, and maybe what Hazard had to.
It'll be interesting to see what Leicester does. They are almost certainly, it would be shocking if they weren't in the Champions League next year.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to what they do. They have assets that are going to command money. Vardy will command some money. That star is certainly down
Vardy's
a little bit.
Vardy's already signed, right? He signed a 3-year deal.
Yeah, but
he's going to command more money on top of that if they make the Champions
League? No, I mean, he could command more money in transfer fees.
Right.
Mahrez is going to get, I mean, they're saying both Real Madrid and Barcelona kicking the tires. Some of their peripheral pieces, are they going to stick around Leicester if there are offers out there? Because teams always talk about going to the Champions League. Well, is Wes Morgan or N'Golo Kante, are they ever going to get a chance like this, a pedestal like this? Because arguably, when you put a team into Europe for the first time, there are growing pains. When that first time in Europe is the Champions League, that's almost terrifying. I mean, we talk about teams making their first run in Europe in a while, and it's Southampton in the Europa League. Mm. It's Everton in the Europa League.
Yeah.
This is Leicester automatically into a group stage as a seeded team.
Right. Though, I mean, there's not a whole lot of expectation, I think, among English teams as far as having success in the Champions League, right? Like, is there any still alive right now?
Three are still alive. Because the second legs are this week.
Okay.
Arsenal is down 2-0 to Barcelona. They're out.
Yep.
City. I mean, barring a miracle. Chelsea down 2-1 to PSG, but they do have a road goal. They scored at the Parc des Princes.
Right, yeah, I saw that one.
And Man City is obliterating Dynamo Kiev. They have three road goals going back to the Etihad.
All right, so I take that back. Then there is, maybe it was last year then where the
last year was a nightmare.
Okay.
Absolute nightmare for England. Speaking of nightmare for England, I have no connection there, but I just figured there's a Scott on the line and we grab him. One of the guys we announced last week but couldn't get on the phone, going to play for FC Buffalo this summer, the Sun Belt Offensive Player of the Year out of Hartwick College, and it's Jamie O'Grady. Jamie, how are you doing today?
Hi, good, Nick. How you doing? I'm good, thanks.
Really well. Happy to have you. So, you know, first and foremost, congrats on a great season. I think the most amazing thing about it to me is when I first heard of you from Chris Walter, who plays for FC Buffalo. He had talked about how you guys are, you know, you're holding midfield together. I know you played some center back and you kind of got moved up, you know, to a more advanced position. You end the year playing up top and was 11 goals, I think was the number, maybe even more. Tell me about this season and how that came about.
I mean, it was quite a freak season to begin with. I was going in thinking that I was possibly playing center back again, possibly defensive midfield. After a few games, I get put to attacking midfield and scored a few goals, scored a couple penalties, stuck to that position, and the rest is history almost.
Did you get? I saw when we announced that you were going to be coming for the summer, there was a post on Twitter where someone says the first O'Grady to ever score goals. But you had told me your father has a pretty impressive record. Is that right?
He used to score the odd goal, but none of my family are attacking-minded players.
How did that trait then trickle down to you, Jamie? If there's not a big history of you know, finishing O'Grady's, how did you come across those traits?
I mean, it's a question that my full family are asking me, but I mean, I guess it's just down to hard work. And I mean, I put in a lot of effort trying to finish off some goals in training last year, and eventually it paid off in some of the games.
You guys have been monsters in your conference over there at Hartwick. Talk about, you know, the team and kind of the way you guys play there.
I mean, at Hartwick, you know, our coach is Scottish himself, so we have a lot of British players. We're a hard-nosed team. We're tough to break down. We're tough to play against. A lot of these teams don't like to play against us. So sometimes that falls in our advantage, and we can capitalize on that sometimes.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about for sure is, I know you spoke to Coach Murphy before coming here. What attracted you to Buffalo?
Well, before I spoke to Coach Murphy, I also spoke to Chris Waller, as you mentioned before. I just asked him some basic questions about how the training methods, what's the team like, what's it like to play for Buffalo. I also had a little bit of knowledge, well, a little bit, I say, but about the city. I knew that it was like a good city to be in the summer. There's a good vibe about, everyone's friendly. So after speaking to Coach Murphy, and he just reiterated everything that Chris told me about the training methods, the way he wants to play, the way the team is going forward, and everything just appealed to me, really.
Are you excited to play alongside Chris Walter again?
Yeah. Not played alongside him for 2 years or so, so yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
What can you tell us about him when he was on campus? Because we only got him locally, and that was already, it was already plenty excitement. How was he at college?
Got a few stories about him, yeah, but he was a good person to have on the team. Everyone knew where they stood with Chris, and he was good to have on the team off the park as well as on the field.
So I know our coaches, from talking to you, I know you're going to, you know, you work your boots off, so to speak, as they say, but also that you're a big time, you know, that you are enjoying scoring and you're going to be looked at to be, you know, an offensive player. Do you consider yourself, you know, an attacker now, or are you still thinking to yourself it all could change next year? Because you've played literally at a different position every year at school.
Yeah, since the end of the fall, I've looked into more developing myself as a forward type player. I've watched videos, I've watched games just to try and improve myself in that position, because I know that I can play in the other positions rather comfortably. So if I can develop the forward part of the game, I think I'm doing well.
Is there a striker you look to emulate?
Not really, no. I don't think I'm a normal, natural forward. I'm a bit of an awkward kind of chasing players. I've not really got a striker in mind.
You're there to terrify people, and I like that. What about the I'm interested, who do you root for as a club? Is it are you more a national guy, or do you have a team you root for?
Yeah, I think you've mentioned it in last week's
video. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. I don't know how I forgot.
My name is Liverpool, so yeah, I'm a big Liverpool fan. I follow them.
You didn't really have a choice in the matter now, did you?
No, not really. I mean, since the day I was born, I was Liverpool through and through.
Tell me about what have you enjoyed as we you know, finish up our talk here. What have you enjoyed about the Jurgen Klopp era?
The pressing, the hard work, the teams that I don't like playing against them, and I think that's the main thing that I've enjoyed watching from him.
Who's your who's your favorite Red of all time?
Of all time, it's got to be Gerrard.
Yeah. Have you enjoyed seeing him over here, or would you rather have just had him wrap up his career in Liverpool?
I mean, it's good to see him over here, because I think the game over here is progressing, so players like him can come over and help the game, and he's done well, I think, so far.
Real quick, Jamie, what's the background between you being a Liverpool fan? Is it something family-related? Where does it go back to?
Yeah, it does. It's family-related. My dad is from Liverpool and a massive Liverpool fan, along with all my family, so I mean, it's pretty much running right through the family.
Are you somebody who's really anti-United or anti-Chelsea? I'm always interested in who big fans of certain clubs usually hate.
Yeah, I'm pretty much anti-United and Everton.
Everton too.
The old derby. Yeah. I was really hoping for the League Cup final to be a Merseyside derby.
Yeah, I was hoping so too, but it didn't turn out that way, and even the final didn't turn out our way.
Jamie, you're a Falkirk guy too, is that right?
Yeah, that's true.
Is that where you came up through with them, with the club?
Yeah, I played with them through the youth team. I grew up there. A lot of my friends have played for the team, so yeah, I follow them as well.
Is it something that if you were given your choice, do you think you would choose to look professionally here, or would you want to go home?
It's a decision that I've not really made yet.
Sure.
I'll keep all options open, to be fair, but yeah, I'll decide closer to the time.
Well, we can't wait to see you score some goals this summer and be a part of the team. I can't wait to have you at FC Buffalo, and I appreciate your time today, Jamie.
Thanks very much. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, anytime. His name is Jamie O'Grady. He's going to play for FC Buffalo this summer. Again, lots of awards this year over at Hartwick as they went to, I think, their second straight NCAA tournament. Fairly impressive coming out of the Sun Belt. And Ben, I know that Jamie didn't say, I think we mentioned it on the show last week too. You know the family, it's going through his blood a little bit when it's his middle name. So
yes, that's correct.
There's something to be said there. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a break when we get back. Lots to talk about, including MLS opening weekend. I know Ben watched a bunch. I was drawn to it, and it did not disappoint yesterday. All the opening day games played yesterday, some big names making big impacts, and we'll get to that in a minute here on the Football Club of Buffalo show. You know when Ben picks up that pick and starts slaying those sizzling licks on his axe? I mean, you can all picture it if you've ever met Ben Tsujimoto. He's actually playing a double neck guitar behind his head right now with his teeth. It's very difficult.
It's all sorts of hardcore.
It's getting really sweaty in here.
Exorcist related. Look at that calm note. No sweat. No, not even exhausted breath. Derek Kramer in the other room producing the show. Nick Mendola here. It's the Football Club of Buffalo show. What do you got cooking on soccer.buffalonews.com these days, Benjamin?
Well, there hasn't been too much in the last week or so. But before that, we had a feature piece on Chris Pepper,
yeah, who's well done.
A Celtic of various different Celtic teams in the BDSL. But he's has melanoma, and it's currently in remission. And there's just a fundraiser just last, not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before, at Soho Burger Bar, where they raised a lot of money because his medical bills are really going.
It's unbelievable how much some of that stuff costs.
Yeah, and it was a tough story to read, to write, and probably to read in some regards. Just he has kids who are 5 years old and 3 years old, and it's just there was no medical history that would set him up to be worried about something like that, and just how long this melanoma issue's been going on is just tough. I mean, all the way back to October 2014. So imagine a disease that just keeps, like, it's a hide and go seek disease almost, where you think you've beaten it and then it pops back and it mutates, and it's just it's hard to see, and especially when somebody who's pretty young like that, who just got married again, just has two young kids, it's tough to see.
Yeah, played against him. You would have too. We played against them at Ellicott Creek in a cup game a few years ago, I want to say. And he's always smiling, always laughing, like hard-nosed player, but somebody who just appreciates being out there on the field. I've always really liked Chris. And you did the great thing about an article like that is, yes, it tells a great story and it raises great awareness, but there's awareness besides the individual cause, and that's just to keep an eye on yourself. I mean, him finding... I don't remember exactly where it was, on his arm, maybe?
It was a mole on his back.
On his back, It wasn't necessarily something where you'd be like, oh, that's super weird. I bet that's cancer, you know?
I mean, it's a fairly routine thing, you know? You're right. And his wife deserves a lot of credit, too. She's, like, when he was having back pain, he was trying to be the tough guy and go through it and not go
That's
to the
what
doctor.
We do. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, no, Chris, you really need to go to the doctor. And it was good because that was when the cancer had spread. And if he had just continued to try to tough it out, you know, who knows where else the cancer would have gone. So that's kudos to her as well. That's been the major piece of on soccer.buffalonews.com. We've got some more stuff coming too. I was planning on writing something MLS related as well, but there's a whole lot of interesting topics going on, and it's hard when you're one person, but you do what you can do.
So I got geared up for this week. We had a big MLS preview on Pro Soccer Talk, and I had the pleasure of speaking with Dave Villa from New York City FC.
Dave Villa.
Dave Villa.
Yeah.
Related to Aston Villa. No, David Villa. I got to talk to him. I talked to Chris Pontius.
Yeah.
From the Philadelphia Union, and Graham Zusi. And it kind of when you talk to these players, I think, so I don't know what your history is with rooting or watching MLS, but for me, I started, you know, soccer is here in the United States, there's a team, I've got to root for someone, and I had no idea what I was doing. I'm like 14 years old. I was like, I think I like Zach Thornton. I'll be a Chicago Fire fan. I like the Cubs, we'll stick with Chicago. And, you know, over time that kind of dipped, and Toronto FC showed up. We shared season tickets with some friends. I became kind of a fan of theirs, but then we got a little bit of a relationship with Columbus Crew, and we would take FC Buffalo down there to some games, and I find myself all of a sudden on Amazon.com a couple weeks ago with an extra $15 in my gift card, and I bought a Vancouver Whitecaps hooded sweatshirt.
I saw that coming.
Great logo.
Yep.
Great logo.
I thought for a little while you were going to be an Indy 11 NASL fan.
Sure.
But I feel like that's over now that there's an Indy 11 NPSL team.
I don't know that I could have been, if I could have gone the distance for a team on that second tier because I want to be a team on that second tier.
I feel like you did like that organization, though, I believe.
They treated us really well.
Yeah.
When we went there, they took us to their suite, and Scott, my co-owner, who's been on the show before, we ate a lot of food and drank drank a lot of soda. So, really, really good times that day. But I find, and the question I get to with rooting interest, I'm still not going to call Vancouver my favorite team or that I could live and die with them. And that's kind of the tricky thing. It took me a while to develop that with the Celtics in basketball. When you don't have a hometown team in the top league, your rooting interest can waver. Have you found yourself rooting for a team?
See, this is going to sound sort of pretentious, but I've sort of in the journalistic vein.
Yeah.
I don't really have teams that I root for, you know, and sometimes
the old Jerry Sullivan,
the old Jerry Sullivan is right. No, but it's becoming more and more difficult for me to gravitate towards a team. And I'm not exactly sure why that is. I grew up a Bills fan, and I grew up a pretty staunch Bills fan. And now I look at diehard Bills fans and I'll be like, I get it, but sure, you're not taking this a little bit too far. But I've also been on the other side.
When was the last time you went firebombing through a table? That'd reinvigorate you.
Yeah, I have RKO'd several a table. But let's see. I mean, other than that, for a while I considered myself a big U.S. men's national team fan.
Yeah.
I'd say especially 2002, that World Cup.
That was amazing.
Yeah, and just the experience of waking up super early in the morning and watching games with friends before school. And I still remember the win over Portugal, just sort of nobody was awake in my house, and I was kind of crouched down for some weird reason. But
I'm surprised Mr. T wasn't up with you.
I don't think he was. It was just me. Mr. T has his own schedule.
Yeah.
So. But no, I'd say those are the two teams, the Bills and the U.S. men's national team. I've never really been drawn too much towards the Sabres, but as far as MLS goes, I mean, I was passively a Tampa Bay Mutiny fan. I just thought those jerseys were really weird.
Sure.
I like Valderrama's hair. I had a Roy Lassiter jersey, which was pretty cool.
I thought it would be better if you had Roy Lassiter's jersey and Valderrama's hair.
That would be confusing for everyone, yes.
So this weekend, the league starts off, and it was a dynamite day. 36 goals scored.
Yeah.
Starting with a really interesting game between Toronto FC and the New York Red Bulls. Toronto starts with their first 9 games on the road again.
Yeah.
And so to pick up a win at the Supporters' Shield, reigning Supporters' Shield winning Red Bulls, who were not a bad team by any stretch of the imagination in that game, that's the sort of win I think you're going to hang your hat on. And Michael Bradley more or less said so after the game, that they wanted to. Last year they felt like they were great against bad teams and bad against great teams. And this is certainly going to do a lot towards fixing that culture.
You can probably expand upon this more just because you're a little bit more familiar with MLS than I am. But there was talk that Toronto was changing their formation to more of a 4-3-3, which took Sebastian Giovinco farther away from goal. And there were thoughts that maybe this wasn't playing into Toronto's best interest. And how would that come out on the field? And I mean, you see Giovinco scoring in the 82nd minute on a penalty, and then Marky Delgado scoring in extra time. But I mean, what did you see? Were you able to see much of that, and how Toronto adjusted, if there was any adjustment at all?
I think the Toronto roster, and this goes back to a lot of the conversations we've had about the United States men's national team, Ben, and that's the Toronto roster is kind of however they line up, someone's going to be mad. Some American's going to be mad about how they use Michael Bradley.
Sure.
And so when you put Bradley in a 4-3-3, it's almost as infuriating to American soccer analyst as using him more advanced up the pitch is to the U.S. soccer fan. What I like about that is now they've got Will Johnson there, and they didn't even use Benoit Cheyrou, who was very good last year. Johnson is going to it's a little bit like the dynamic of playing Bradley and Jones in the middle with the national team, where one of them will be back and one of them will be marauding. With Giovinco, I was surprised it worked in the opener, because where I think he'll work out wide is with Jozy Altidore, sans 10 pounds as he lost this offseason, playing up top. But his hamstring's wonky again.
Guy can't catch a break, can he?
It's very frustrating. What I did notice, I don't know if you caught any of the game at all, but I believe the kid out of Maryland, Tsubasa Endo.
Yeah.
Tsubasa, he was lightning. Very good with the ball. He almost looked like a mini Giovinco, in that it was glued to his foot at all times. And it'll be interesting to see if he's on one side and Giovinco's in the other. Altidore should be able to just reap rewards.
Yeah, and I remember reading the MLS soccer preview and it's showing how just like how underratedly strong Toronto's offseason was. And I think Will Johnson is the guy who headlines that. But Drew Moore as well, like you said, Tsubasa Endo.
They picked up Steven Betashore, Iranian national.
Mm-hmm.
These are guys with MLS experience who you're adding to play on your back line. And their back line was terrible. I mean, that was the issue last year. I want to say they were in the top five in goals, but also the top five in goals against.
And Clint Irwin, too, right?
I mean, very good move, yeah. And he's a glue guy, too. I know that's a hockey term.
That is a hockey term, yeah.
But he is a guy that is going to lift the spirits in the room, and especially coming from Colorado, he'll be happy to be out of there.
Right, yeah,
you know, like,
sure.
Hey, we're good now. This is great. So I think they can do a lot of damage. I picked them to go to the MLS Cup. I did not pick them to win the conference. And I'll tell you why. It's because this league is still working on this crazy schedule that they have to because of the weather. They're going to lose Bradley and Altidore for a month in the Copa America.
Yeah.
They might lose Giovinco that same month to the Euros. And if that happens, even though those games are at home, who are you counting on them to win half their games? I'm not.
Your striker's going to be Jonathan Osorio.
Yeah? you're going to have him. You're going to have Marky Delgado. You're going to have Tsubasa Endo.
Yeah.
You know, Cheru gets to slide back in there. So they have more depth. But that's one of the things you're seeing across MLS, and we'll get to with a couple of these teams, specifically Sporting Kansas City and the Galaxy, is these are teams with two 11s now. That if they have a U.S. Open Cup that week, the CONCACAF Champions League, they're going to be able to slide a team in there. Another interesting thing to monitor, and a game that wasn't played on the postage stamp, and that's New York City FC against Chicago Fire. Now, if I tell you, given their bad defensive record, that with Patrick Vieira playing his first game, New York City won 4-3, you'd be like, wow, I bet David Villa and Andrea Pirlo and Frank Lampard went off. Well, Lampard didn't play, and your goal scorers were Tom McNamara, the gorgeous goal.
Real nice.
Tony Taylor, Kyrie Shelton, and Mix Discarude, who still wears the mix on the back of his jersey, which is very funny to me.
You also said that Patrick Vieira played in that game.
I'm sorry, his first game managed, yeah. I bet they might have used him.
I was going to say, I mean, do you think Patrick Vieira could really actually step in and...
I think he could do a job.
He could do a job, yeah.
He could do a job. You would need guys like... he would have to be in a three-person midfield with two guys running running rampant in front of him.
Yeah, you'd have to expect him to cover about 10-yard radius.
Just it, yeah. Right up 10 yards outside of the 18. And like someone would maneuver him back, physically maneuver him into the 18 for corner kicks.
When you talked to Dave Villa, what was the sense that you got about NYCFC? Because that's a really interesting team, a team that, you know, very reluctantly plays defense, sometimes just doesn't play defense at all, they can be very potent attacking.
I got the sense, first of all, this is a guy who bristles at losing, and I've used this a few times in conversation, but he lost 17 games last year with New York City FC. In the previous 5 years, which were spent between Atleti and Barcelona, he lost 11 total in league play. Obviously in the Champions League it's different. You have to go back, I think, 6 years to a season with Valencia where he lost 17 games. And again, that's a longer schedule. And they finished ninth, not out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I get the feeling he's a little sick of the losing. And as much as it was a smart move to bring in Christ from Real Salt Lake to mastermind the building of that New York City program, I get the sense that guys like Villa, Pirlo, Lampard love having a guy like Vieira who comes from their background of a Champions League fixture, an international fixture, someone who's seen glory, etc., and knows how to maybe massage their egos a little bit. Something that you can't really prepare Jason Christ for. Hey, Andrea Pirlo has a better career than you, buddy. Like, and I hate to say that because I love him and I would hire him to coach my MLS team in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. But with stars of that wattage, it's very difficult to handle. And I think Vieira will be better if just for the mental part of it.
I feel like they need to trade Kwadwo Poku. I just hate seeing him on the bench.
It's hard, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, he's such a talented player. He should either go overseas or something.
Especially with Shelton there, too. It's not like he's the... They're different positions, but it's not like he's the... Somebody gets hurt, great, now you're playing. Mm-hmm. It's they're still battle for him.
Yeah, that's a deep roster. I mean, they bring in Federico Bravo, who's like mm-hmm. on loan from Boca Juniors, and he's going to have to see time. Mikey Lopez is there. You figure he'll see some kind of time. He's a 23-year-old kid from UNC, a really good pedigree. So it's tough. I think he should, you know, really consider going elsewhere.
I think maybe he would have if, you know, they had that injury to Harrison and he's going to be out for much of the season. And they're saying it's not going to be the whole year now, but that's basically the third overall draft pick wasted.
Forgot about him.
And that's, yeah. I mean, but that's the thing. And we'll start to see this. We see it with the Galaxy. Watched them in the CONCACAF Champions League. Come back and they roll out. They don't even play Jelly Van Dam. Is it Yelly?
I'm not actually sure.
I've heard a couple different ways to describe it, but they don't even play. He's their one of their high profile signings. Ashley Cole isn't there because his wife gave birth. So you're going to start seeing teams even harder to break into.
Cole played yesterday. Did you see his flop? Of
I didn't.
Anybody who's listening, just look it up. He fell down pretty easily.
I ran out of steam. I know Magic Mike had a big night. Mike McGee.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable story. Former MVP, Mike McGee.
What's your take on the Galaxy? Are they too old? It seemed to be the popular line among MLS pundits is time has just passed them by. Everybody, Mike McGee, Steven Gerrard, Robbie Keane, yeah, Nigel DeJong.
No, DeJong looks... He's lively. I may take too many red cards. You know, he's known to break people in half.
I was going to say, he's on the wrong side of 30, and he's mean.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I think he can have the same impact that a less offensive, but the same impact that Jermaine Jones had on New England. Where
I see a parallel there.
Instantly steadied a team. I don't think they'll have a problem because of their depth. Dos Santos was terrible the other night for 45 minutes. They still went out and won the game 4-1. There are players who aren't getting into the squad. Sebastian Letget, Zardes hasn't been on form, and they're widely favored amongst people that I like reading to be the favorite to go out there and win it. I don't think they will, granted, because I do think over a stretch of four games, which, well, it'll be three games because they'll probably get a bye. At some point, their midfield will be exposed as a little too slow.
But Dan Kennedy got hurt.
Yeah, that's tough. He's a very good goalkeeper. I like him a great deal since he was back at Chivas USA and was maybe their only player besides Cubo Torres. Cubo Torres, by the way, on the bench for Owen Coyle at Houston. I don't know if he has a knock, as they like to say, but I was a little surprised to see that. Another game that I enjoyed watching just because the atmosphere, as usual, is Portland and Columbus. The game looked a lot like it did in the championship game. Some suspect goalkeeping from Steve Clark, opportunistic striking from Portland. There are people telling me that Portland's going to be much better this year, and that wouldn't be a surprise because they were capable of winning the championship, but what is much better? They barely made the playoffs. I still don't... If you were to ask me, and we had a roundtable on Pro Soccer Talk, and it was out of a 10, what chance do you give Portland at repeating? And I said 2. I just don't... I'm not saying it can't happen, but in a league where the sixth seed can burst through the door at any time, I don't see Portland as one of the top six competitors to win the league.
Portland wasted a ton of chances yesterday. They could have won that game a lot more handily than they
or
did.
Or easily and handily. Yeah.
Yes, I think that Jermaine Taylor is not a bad addition, but I don't think that's like a move that puts you over the top.
Chris Clute, right? Chris Clute. There's depth.
I think they're a little bit deeper, but I don't think they're that deeper. I mean, if you look at their bench, Ned Grabovoy and Jack Jewsbury, two guys who seem like they've been around for like 3 decades.
Yeah, Grabovoy's kind of a savvy pickup. You know, you don't want him to be what he was in New York City last year as a fixture on the roster.
Right.
Plus, what I love about him leaving New York City is it gives me one less wild hair hairdo to misconstrue for someone else, because between him, Mix, and Thomas McNamara, it's a real problem.
Do you feel, I mean, this has been after 1 week, obviously, but do you see any reason why Columbus Crew fans should panic?
No, no. I don't. I just think their midfield stayed completely together and they're their best players. If Higuain loses a step, that's going to be a problem.
Who knew he was so athletic where he could actually complete a bicycle kick? I saw that and I didn't believe
it. Well, he tricks you with those little socks.
He does the socks.
Looks like he's not running around there. It'll be interesting to see the guy that they've been tabbed to get. is Falcao after the season ends. And it would be a real problem for MLS honks, and I love MLS, but it'd be a real problem if he showed up after being a flop at Man United and a flop at Chelsea and scored 25 goals in a half season.
And you pushed Kai Kamara to the bench.
Yeah. Well, they'd have to. I would imagine, given Kamara's size, now granted Falcao's no tiny guy either, they would just be a handful together.
I don't think they could play together.
You don't think so?
Nope, I don't think so.
I would be interested for them to give that a try, and obviously I think they might.
I think they would hate each other.
Well, they might. Different backgrounds for sure. Did you read the Rolling Stone article on Kai Kamara?
No, I didn't.
About his growing up and fleeing Sierra Leone and hearing, Sierra Leone. Sergio Leone and Sierra Leone. Sergio Leone, great Western movie. Yeah, but it's kind of an incredible read. Kai Kamara hearing gunshots and, you know, seeing people kidnapped off the streets and fleeing for the United States, where he is now obviously very successful. Just got a bumper new deal there. I think they'll be very good. I picked them to win the East. I'm not worried because they went to Portland on a day that the Timbers were going to be just juiced. I mean, they were going to be fired up for that game, and they were. I thought they came out very well. My colleague Andy Edwards over at NBC made a really great point.
Former podcast guest.
Yes. Diego Chara, Diego Valeri, Darlington Nagbe. None of them have had great records with health. But together, that's as good and in their prime. Valeri's a little older midfield as you're going to see in MLS. And that's going to carry them, I think, into a top four, top three spot in the Western Conference.
Is it that much better than Chani, Trapp, and Higuain?
No, but they're in that discussion as well.
Yeah.
Chani, Trapp, even Ethan Finley drops back a bit.
I don't like Ethan Finley.
I don't like him on the national team, but I think he's very good for MLS.
Did he play yesterday?
I didn't notice him, but I'm assuming
he did play, but yeah. He was not noticeable.
Yeah. He was not noticeable. I was pretty sure he played, though, but I didn't want you to trick me.
No.
I thought you were tricking me there.
You know, and so the last game I watched of last season was obviously Portland versus Columbus. The first game I watched of this season was Portland versus Columbus. And I was trying to think over that, you know, 3 or 4 month span, I don't know how long it was, 3 months, if I would look at players any differently just in a new year. I know that's kind of probably an arbitrary thing, but Harrison Offal, I actually decided to like this year. And it's weird because I absolutely hated him last year.
I thought he was good yesterday.
I
noticed him a ton.
Crushed by Villafana, and then Villafana got, you know, a good gig in Mexico.
Right.
But he was great. Greg Berhalter's giving him the freedom to literally play anywhere.
Very good manager.
With faith that he's able to get back to his right back position.
Yeah.
And that created, like, Darren Esprit had some chances down that side because Harrison Offal was, like, 55 yards downfield.
Right.
But it was fun to see because Offal covers a ton of ground. Yeah. So I thought he was more entertaining. I thought he was more dynamic. I didn't think he was nearly the bonehead that he was last year.
No. Well, at least for one game. And small sample size indeed. I'm interested in a few things. One, Sporting Kansas City is a team that has said they're trying to win every competition they're in. And
I'd hope they'd say that.
Well, U.S. Open Cup is often kind of overlooked.
True.
If you ask me for the three subplots that I'm very interested in this year, it's following the super draftees because it's a crazier process than ever before because of how many homegrown players there are.
True.
So, you know, I think of a guy that we've seen tear up defenses in Nico Brett, who just signed a pro deal with the Portland Timbers.
On the bench on Sunday, yeah.
I think a guy like Caleb Porter is going to use him, is going to have a use for him, the same way maybe that he used a higher profile guy named Lucas Milano last year. That's one of the subplots I want to see. Brandon Vincent started his first game. Keegan Rosenberry started. Joshua Yarrow did not, but he might be hurt for Philadelphia. Those are things I'll monitor. Colorado will be very interesting to monitor. Jermaine Jones has to sit out 8 games, but they traded for him. Mm-hmm. They have Skelzen Gazi, and I'm probably saying that wrong.
No, I think you're saying that right.
From Basel, who scored more goals in the last 2 seasons than anybody in the Swiss League. And they're going to add, it's basically the worst kept secret around, Tim Howard.
Yeah.
And those will be their three DPs. I don't remember the last time they had three DPs that all of them had great reputations. And you still have a Dylan Powers there. Dominic Baggi could still do some things. So it'll be very...
They're not going to score goals, Nick.
They won't? Jermaine Jones.
They sure didn't yesterday.
No, they didn't. That's a tough matchup, though. That is, I'm trying hard not to judge that game because for me, I think that's a slug it out game with San Jose.
Yeah, that's
Dominic
San Jose back
Dominic
line.
Kinnear is going to try and literally break you in half. Anibal Godoy.
And I know you're a big Vancouver Whitecaps guy, but I'm trying to think of the comparison for which MLS team has the defense that's equivalent to what you said with Portland, the Valeri, Nagbe, and Chara. And the argument is maybe San Jose, maybe Vancouver.
Dallas, interesting as well with Rochester native Matt Hedges. I still can't believe the way everybody talks about why doesn't Klinsmann call up Benny Fallhaber, I feel about Matt Hedges. You're really teeming with T-E-E-M. Are you really teaming with such center back depth at the United States level that you can't call up Matt Hedges, who has been straight up dynamite? That's not because of the Rochester connection. I really think he's great. So that was a little... That's a little surprising to me, and I want to see what that happens there. Vancouver, Waston is a beast. Ka, very good player as well. I mean, who else?
But San Jose, Sean Francis, David Bingham is your keeper, Clarence Goodson, Victor Bernardes, Marvell Wynn.
Yeah.
That's nothing to stick your nose up at.
It's not, and their midfield does a great job at checking back and messing things up as well. And I think that's another credit to Vancouver with Matthias Laba. Is another player who is going to be such a good destroyer, or not destroyer, but a guy who can break up plays, that he'll make your defense look better. He'll keep other midfields a little bit more honest. Dallas didn't do anything to destroy the notion that they're one of the favorites to win the league. Fabian Castillo, here, Philadelphia. Here is your young, newly put together back line, and here's one of the... Castillo, to me, could play in the Premier League. I think he's that sort of electric talent. I don't know how young he is still, so how much upside he still has to grow further and further. But he is, when I was putting together my fantasy team, he was a must-buy. Like, plug him in, $10.5 million, no problem.
He's a 23-year-old Colombian.
Yeah, so. I was going to guess 23. I know you can't believe me on that necessarily, but I really was going to say 23.
I actually do believe you.
I like him a lot.
Because you said
lot.
I wouldn't.
I like him a great deal. And I love what Montreal did without Didier Drogba. 3-2 against a good Vancouver team. That game was in Vancouver. And they got Piatti scored one of the goals you're gonna love to watch over again. Dribbles through four guys, more or less, before beating a very good goalkeeper in David Ousted. So
Harry Ship.
Yep, Harry Ship.
Good chance to redeem himself, apparently, after a down year with the Fire.
The Fire were terrible, though.
I know. I thought he sort of got the raw end of the deal on that
He
one,
did. But... He's a homegrown player. He didn't want to leave Chicago because he was excited to be there.
He wrote such a tearjerker of a letter.
Yeah, that
when
was.
He left. Yeah.
It was sensitive. It was sensitive stuff. He is, to me, very interesting to monitor. Again, I know that's my big term that we'll be monitoring this season, and I say it a lot.
We're teaming with players that we're monitoring.
We are teaming with monitoring. When it's Drogba up top with an attack with Ship, Oduro, you know, Piatti's obviously a force moving forward. Montreal is sneaky good considering the way they finished once Drogba arrived last year. They have another hassle. Drogba is dealing with massive injury, or not massive injury. He won't play on turf, at least for the first part of the season.
What do you think about that?
I think he's a prima donna, but they also had to convince him to come back.
Yeah.
And if he's like, hey, I got wonky knees, I'm old, if you really want me to come back, because Goose Hiddink wants me on his coaching staff, you got to make some concessions, I think it'll probably be worth it.
Yeah, his knees really have to be good to be a coach.
Precisely, Ben. Precisely. We're running out of time. Bobby Shuttleworth had a tough night. Not because of him.
No.
Because New England's defense, who should be very good with Gonsalves and Andrew Farrell, basically gave up prime chance after prime chance in a 3-3 game. And that wacky ending with Orlando was unbelievable. They're down 2-0 going into stoppage time, and they come back to draw.
Kyle Larin just scoring goals by accident. That deflection goal looked like it wasn't intentional.
Why do they call those goal scorers' goals if they're accidental?
I know.
Is it just because dudes shoot all the time? I mean, that's really it. That's what you're saying. It's a goal scorers' goal.
It didn't look like he was even looking at the goal.
Right. Well, who's one of Orlando's defenders? Darwin Sarin. Yeah. If he shot 30 times a game and one went off, would you be like, oh, it's a goal scorer's goal? Would you say, no, it went off that guy's back? So I think that's a little bit of bunk, but he's very good. He's a very good player. I believe we're, are we wrapping things up, DK? DKNY, Derek Kramer, New York.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Fashion plate.
I like that.
You should. Someone's talking about you on the radio, brah.
Oh, yeah. It's always nice. How flattering.
Ben, anything to share?
Nothing.
Oh, wow. No, just nothing?
Derek, anything to share?
Yay, round ball.
Yay, round ball. I will share one thing about the real round ball, and that is this. I was very disappointed that my Boston Celtics, who had been playing unbelievably well, gave up an 18-point lead to LeBron and the Cavs the other night. That said, give me seven games against the Cavs.
And Kyrie Irving and LeBron are subtweeting at each other.
Are they?
They are.
That's embarrassing.
I was talking about your round ball. I'm the egg ball.
Basketball is a round ball.
No, but, I think he's talking. Yeah.
I know.
Yes. Yeah. I'm talking your
now
round ball.
We've confused our listeners.
Soccer balls have bumps, so I don't even want to go with round. Basketballs have bumps as well.
What do you call it then?
Soccer?
I thought you call it football.
I never go with the foot. The foot.
There's not two. Well, never mind.
Football. I should go on with that. Football. All right.
All right, time to go.
Yeah, it's been time to go for a while.
Yep.